When I pray sincerely from the bottom of my heart. I pray that God will bless and that God will heal. I know to a lot of people, you know, when they think about a minister, they take the outlook, you know, he's just another Joe. They say, yeah, he's a fine guy, you know, just another Joe. But he's not just another Joe. When God's man, if he's really God's man, spends his life day and night on his knees before God in supplication for you, and you just in a half-heartedly, nonchalant sort of a manner, greet him and think of him and speak of him in your arrogancy and foolish manner, and you just kind of, without too much forethought, just pass him by when he says something to you or when he offers you an invitation to that's right, you can be sure that your fields will be set on fire. You can be sure the wrath of God is on your trail, because as I said, he's not just another Joe. And when he spends his life for you, God won't treat him like another Joe, and he won't forget the way that you treated him and didn't have respect for him. That's why they call ministers reverent. People will say reverent such and such, because he is to be reverent and respected. Whereas he himself, if he loves God, he doesn't expect anything of that sort out of you, because that's not his goal, but God respects it out of you. That's God's goal. And when we pray over these handkerchiefs, or we pray over whatever, we pray for you, then we expect God to heal you. We expect God to do something for you. When we meet with you and we talk with you and we try to tell you about the goodness of God, we are expecting God to undertake for you. And when those handkerchiefs go out or those anointed cloths go out, then we send them out in great expectation, expecting something to happen to your benefit, that your loved ones might be healed and might be forgiven, that they might receive strength to overcome. And in many cases, we get reports of that very thing. In Isaiah, let's read in the 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet. I think we'll back up just a little further. Let's start over in the 24th chapter here to get over the thought that I'd like to get over. I think I'll have to start in the first part of the 24th chapter. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceases, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down, every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened, the mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grape when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth, for thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers. To be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the walls. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down unto him, even as straw is trodden down from the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Isaiah tells us that God will swallow up death in victory, whereas he is pointing us to Calvary. I want to read this in the 26th chapter here. I think I ought to read this. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwark. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright doth weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. I want to read down to there. You know, we're told here that even though you give mercy to the wicked, he is not going to do any better. Though you tell him righteousness, he isn't interested in righteousness. He's not going to try to learn righteousness. And he's not going to try to correct the disorder of his life, because it is within him to love the worldly things and the evil ways of life. And the Lord tells us here that with all of the mercy that he shows to them, it won't do any good. But it says when the judgments of the Lord are in the land, the people will learn righteousness. And it says the reason that the judgments of the Lord is in the land, said the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth, the earth is defiled, said, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Says that the inhabitants of the earth will be burned and few men left. We wonder why that everything is in the condition that it's in, and great men, great statesmen, great leaders, kings, presidents, senators, preachers, all kind of people that are not thoroughly learned or instructed in the ways of God, they wonder why the chaos, and they wonder why the world condition, and they write books and they give lectures and they get together and they have great councils and they try to determine and they pass rules and regulations, and all hoping that something will work. But they can never find the answer to it, for the simple reason that they don't know what has caused it. You can't offer a remedy for something that you don't understand. God tells us that the world is in this kind of condition because wicked men are in power and preeminence. And we are told that it's in this kind of condition because men don't love the ways of God and don't love righteousness. And because they have broken God's laws and they have forsaken the ordinance of God, he tells us that the reason that the world is in the state of chaos that it's in is because there is not the right thing set forth as the government to control the people and to indoctrinate the people with the right understanding. In that God doesn't have anyone
that will program the people's mind according to godliness. The Bible teaches that the curse has come upon mankind, and that God is so angry that he's going to turn the world upside down. Whereas what John saw in the book of Revelation was nothing less than God turning the world upside down. And we spoke of it. We spoke of it in the past, where that the mountains came up out of the sea, and the mountains that are now up and out of the water went down into the sea. God turning the world upside down, emptying out the wicked, turning over the wrong side of it to put the wicked in the grave, bringing up the better side of it, that he might take the righteous and let them live in a garden that is fertile, that has been preserved underneath the water by the great fertility of God through the years. So then we see the reason that the world is going to be destroyed is very simple. It's because you and I as a people, and Paul said, I say you, or I, to keep from saying you, and I say that to those that are listening. It's very simple. Because you and I have not loved righteousness the way that we should love righteousness, and because we've turned toward the tree of knowledge, because we've tried to intellectually figure out everything our own way and set our own routine of life, God is upset and destroying the world. The Bible said that man is desolate. Desolate of what? Desolate of the knowledge of God. They're desolate of the spirit of life. They're desolate of health and happiness. Everything that God ever wanted them to have, they're becoming desolate of it. What's causing it? Because men are continually leaning toward the tree of knowledge. People, even when they try to raise their children, they don't go to the Bible anymore. They don't try to correct their children after the order of righteousness anymore. I spoke of this the other day. What they do, they find somebody that's wrote a book, and they get some kind of a silly book because somebody's written a book to try to tell them how to raise their children. When God has given them the Word of God and told them in the Word of God that a child left to himself would bring shame, and that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child, and to train him up in the way that he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. God's told us all of these things in the Bible, but we'll lean to some silly book that somebody has written because we don't have a love for the truth, which is God's word. Whereas that means that we've turned to some tree of knowledge, the same foolish tree of knowledge that Eve did, some intellectual inspiration where somebody got a brainstorm and decided they could figure it out when nobody else couldn't. And so then we follow after the foolishness of mankind. But folks, there's one thing about it. God said, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm going to empty out all of the inhabitants thereof. I'm going to do to the lender like I do to the borrower. I'm going to do to the rich like I do to the poor. And I'm going to do to one man like I do to another man. And only the righteous is going to survive this great crisis. Because I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I'm going to do it for one reason and one reason only. Because I told you in my word how to live and what to do. And you didn't do what I told you to do. And because you've leaned upon the arm of flesh and looked to the kings of the earth and looked to the presidents of the world and whatever, I am going to destroy all of you, God said. Whereas our leaders, presidents or kings or senators or whatever, should have had enough common sense and enough God fear that they should have gone to God and got the answer from God, that they could lead the people in the right way to keep God from being upset with all of humanity. But they did very foolish. They lifted themselves up. They lifted their own ability up. They turned to the tree of knowledge. They turned to education. They tried to figure it out. And like the song said, everyone thinking that he was the head of the thing, tried to get it into some worldly empire. And Hitler and great men like that have tried to come along and make some great power for a dictator, or get the world into some great personal thing. And God is all upset about it. God doesn't care about kings. He doesn't care about rulers. He doesn't care about anybody if they don't care about him. But God ordains leaders, and God ordains kings, and God ordains magistrates. When those men care about God, God cares about them. And God raises up great governors and great leaders and great kings and great rulers, that they might lead his people, that they might be great and mighty men and women of God. God raises them up for the purpose of leading his people and nourishing his people and tutoring his people and indoctrinating his people with the things that please God, that the things that bring wholesome life and great living. God raises up great leaders for that purpose. But when we get foolish, when we forget about God, and when we try to figure it out, and when we don't go to God, then God gets angry. Why is it that we do that? Why is it that we do that? We see the same thing here in our own little ways of life, even here in our own doings right here. I can ordain leaders right here. The brethren can ordain leaders. But do they follow God? Do they seek the word of wisdom? Do they try to function under the pastor or under the brotherhood? Or do they seek their own way? And don't they always crash up? Don't they always create a problem when they go to their own way? Same way with God. You know, there's one thing about it. I'm glad that Jesus is the captain of my boat. God helps me over the shallow places, keeps me from running aground when I wouldn't know which way that I was going. And many times when I would crash up, and as Paul said, would make faith shipwreck, God tutors me and God directs me and God helps me to find my way along the treacherous ways of life. And brother, sister, God will help you. It's like talking to Captain Joseph the other day as he and I had a conversation there in Florida. He said, you know, I've had a number of boats to go down with me. He said, but one thing I've learned, that people that sink boats are people that don't listen. He said, I've learned that if you listen, said, you'll be all right. But said, people that pilot boats a lot of times won't listen. Said, you tell them, don't go into this cove, don't go into this place, be careful now. If you don't understand, stop the boat. Don't keep on going, trying to figure it out. He said, and those people won't listen. They say, no, I can handle it. I'm all right. I know what I'm doing. And as a consequence of that, they crash up. Not the way the world is today. You can't get a president to listen. You elect him into an office and he figures, I'm Mr. Big and I know everything. Why should I listen to you, Mr. Nobody? Did you know God at many times sent a Mr. Nobody to tell a Mr. Somebody that he needed to listen to God and get straightened out before he wrecked the nation? I feel that it doesn't matter who is president or how much learning or understanding he's got. If God speaks to a yard man to speak to him, he needs to listen. Isn't that right? What was it when Naaman went over to the prophet? And the prophet didn't come out. He flew into a rage and said, I'm Mr. Somebody. Who does he think he is? And the little servant said, somebody or whatever. Said, there's one thing you need to get, and that's a little common sense. He didn't say it in that way. I'm just your servant. You're the big boss. But I want to tell you something. You're going to die. You need to get straightened out. You need to listen. That's what I say to the president And all of the leaders, they need to listen. They're going to die. And not only that, but God's going to turn the world upside down. And all of us are going to die if we don't listen to God and follow God's way and do something. And this little servant said, "Now, Mr. Big, if he had told you to do something big, you'd have thought that was divine. But in that he told you to go down to the muddy river to get some pride out of you, you can't get down low enough to get the starch out." Somebody say, "I love Jesus." He said, "I think you need some good common sense." I'm just putting it in my own words. "I think you need to realize that you're dying with leprosy. And you need to get off of your high horse, or they're going to put you in a hole and throw dirt over you." And that's what the president needs to do. That's what the senators need to do. That's what the kings of the earth need to do. That's what Khomeini needs to do. All of them. They're nothing but worm food. That's all they're good for. God will throw them in a hole and throw the dirt in on top of them. They may think they're Mr. Big, and as the world calls, toot their horns. But brother, God will throw them in a hole and throw the dirt in their face, and the worms will eat them up. Amen. There's one thing about it. He that follows Christ. Job said, "Though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Skin worms won't hold me down. Powers of death won't hold me down. Why? Because Isaiah said death is swallowed up in victory. When we follow Christ, then death is taken away and we don't have to worry because God is with us. But oh my friend, when we get haughty, when we get lifted up, when we get self-sufficient and we want to do our own thing and go our own way and we don't want to listen, then we get into trouble. Today, the United States especially, the whole world is in a mess. But the United States especially is in a mess because they will not listen. Listen to who? Listen to God. Listen to God. They'll go to them that peep, the Bible said. They'll go to wizards. They'll go to witches. They'll go to fortune tellers. They'll go to the warped, twisted up tree of knowledge. They'll go to some educated fool. If you'll pardon the expression. But the Bible said the fool is set in his heart. There is no God. Some educated fool that's denied God. Paul said in science or knowledge falsely so called. And they'll go to him. But they won't go to God. And they won't listen to a word of God. And they won't listen to a man of God. And they won't listen to the things of God. But beloved friend, there's one thing for sure and for certain. And that is God and God's man and God's people are going to take the preeminence of the earth. And they're going to possess the kingdom and they're going to live forever and ever. And they're going to have control of it from now on. And the president will be left out and the senators will be left out and the kings will be left out. And the great notable men will be left out and the millionaires shall be left out. When God's people shall march victoriously and gallantly on in their great stride for conquest for God and in establishing the government of God in this present world right here. And God will choose his own presidents. God will choose his own kings. And they won't have to have a PhD degree. A PhD, whatever you want to call it. They won't have to have some great, outstanding certificate from a bunch of people that have gotten together with their foolishness, measuring themselves by themselves, not being wise. They won't have to be chosen out of a group of great celebrities of this world. God will pick them up. Some of them will be simple fishermen. Some of them will be men that have been the garbage man. Some of them will be men that's never known the high places of life. But common men, God will pick them up and God will make them great. And God will make them mighty, and God will make them kings, and God will make them priests. And God will make them rulers. And some of them may not have any education, but they may be full of the Holy Ghost, like Stephen's was when he done mighty miracles in the presence of the people. God is going to look at the heart, not at your head. God's going to look at your heart. The Bible said in the last days men would be heady, intellectual, educated, high-minded. But God's going to look at your heart. And God's going to see what kind of heart that you got. He doesn't care how much you know about science, how much you understand about the stars and the galaxy. God doesn't care how much you know about the skills of this life. God wants to know what's inside of your heart. And if your heart is full of the love of God and full of the charity of Christ, full of the wisdom and knowledge of the Almighty God, God is going to lift you up and God is going to magnify you and God's going to make a ruler out of you and God's going to make a king out of you. God's going to make a great person out of you that you may rule and reign over his people forever and forever. I will raise up men after my own heart. David, thou art a man after my own heart, a man that prayed 7 times a day, a man that loved God, a man that though he fell into the snares of Satan and had to pay bitterly, yet down in his soul and in his heart, he wanted to do what was right. And he paid a terrible price for his foolishness. But God said, David, I'll raise up holy men, righteous men, just men, men like Abraham and men like Paul and men like Elijah and other great and mighty men like Peter. I will raise them up and I will make them great and mighty leaders. I will bring them to rule and to reign and I'll have kings. But as for this world, I'm going to turn it upside down. These are the men, they said, as Paul preached the gospel. These are the men that have turned the world upside down. You know why they turned it upside down? Because it was wrong side up. Amen. Ever since the tree of knowledge, the world has been wrong side up. It's just been one great big hassle. One great big problem and oppression to God and to mankind. Because they turned it upside down. Man's thinking is upside down. He thinks wrong. He thinks he's great when he's nothing. He thinks he understands when he don't know a thing. He doesn't think in terms of God being great. He doesn't think in terms of God's people being great. He thinks in terms of him being great and his educational system being great. And those that he has educated in the colleges and schools being great, they're upside down. They got the wrong understanding. God's people are the right side up. They're the wrong side up. And God's going to turn it upside down. And they said, Paul, you've come here. You're that same fellow that's turned the world upside down. And now you've come over here. Oh, I wish it could be said today that them people at Bethlehem is the kind that turned the world upside down. Because that's what we need to do. I'm going to turn the world upside down, God said. And when they brand us as those that turned the world upside down, that means that we're working hand in hand with God. And if they can't brand us that way, then we're falling short of the things that God commissioned us to do. Because it's our job to do nothing less than turn the world upside down. For I am going to turn the world upside down, God said, and I'm going to shake all the inhabitants thereof out. I'm going to bring forth some people that's got godly understanding. For I will swallow up death and victory, bringing in Calvary. I will swallow up death and victory. And I'll bring it to pass that because they have forsaken the ordinances of God, that all of the earth shall utterly be burned up and few men be left. And I will bring it to pass that they shall be desolate. All of the people of the earth shall be desolate. And they shall be without the knowledge of life and hope of life. And they shall be without health. And they shall be without prosperity. And I'll treat them all alike, he said. All of them, and no one shall escape it but the righteous. No one shall escape but the righteous. But I'm glad tonight that I'm on God's side. I'm glad tonight as I see God turning the world upside down, that I can say glory to God. At last the world is beginning to be right side up. And that we're going to rule and going to reign. When the devil climbed up into the upper places and put God down here and put life into captivity, and when the state and the world began to rule over the church, it became wrong side up. My brother and sister, when the church begins to rule over the state and when the church begins to control the world, then it will be right side up. And come the millennium, Christ Jesus will be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the great millennium will usher in the kingdom of God, and all of the others shall be put under the regime of Christ and his people. And there will be what one thing that's considered knowledge, and that is to know about him and to understand him and to talk about him and to understand his desire and to know how to work with his people according to his indoctrination. And all of this other that we call education will be nothing but foolishness and banned and gone. And Paul said, I count it all as waste or dung. All of it. And I'll turn it right side up. And God will be on the throne again. And Satan will be down into the bottom where he belongs. Amen. The Bible said that the serpents have climbed up into the upper lintel. But God is going to cast him out, the old red dragon, and put him back down in the pit. When the man child goes up, Lucifer is going to go out. As long as Lucifer's up, the world is upside down. But when Lucifer goes out and goes down to the darkness and Christ is caught up, and the church goes up into the rightful place, the world will be right side up and all of the things of God will take place accordingly. That's why that we made the statement that as long as Adam and Eve is in the condition that they're in, as we would say, the world will never be right side up, because they caused it to be wrong side up. When the man went down and become subject to the woman, brother, that's the wrong side up. When the world rules over the church, and the church and all of the people that's supposed to be righteous are led and controlled by education and led and controlled by the world and their fashions, that's wrong side up. As long as God's people are controlled by the presidents and the rulers of this world, that's wrong side up. But when God puts that side down and raises the church of the living God up to rule with the rod of iron, then righteousness shall fill the land. And all of the foolishness of the law and parliament shall be cast out. And the whole system shall be changed. That's what upset them with Jesus. They said, this Jesus of Nazareth, he says he's going to change these customs. He's going to change things around. You better believe he's going to change the customs. You better believe that God's people is not a bunch of ignoramuses. People out there with their PhDs and whatever that feels like God's people are a bunch of ignorant people and feel like that they don't know how to run things and they don't know how to do things and that we have to have them to lead us. They're the ignorant ones. They're the ones that's causing the mess. They're the ones that's got it in a scramble. They're the ones that's got it mixed up and messed up and got it into a Babylon. They're the ones that need to get out and leave it alone. We know how to handle it. We know how to run it. We've been told of our Heavenly Father what we're to do. And the sons of God, the government shall be upon their shoulders and they shall handle it. And they shall rule with a rod of iron. And they'll set things back like it ought to be. And the world won't be desolate anymore. And the blessings of God will be upon the earth. And the Bible said when the laws of God are in the earth, then the people shall learn righteousness. When we again place the laws of God in the earth, the people will rejoice in righteousness. And the great things of God will come forth. and the great statesmen of God will step out and they will set up a kingdom that will never end. That's from everlasting to everlasting. So then we are looking forward to this great, brilliant, bright, shining moment that is coming on the scene at any moment now. We understand of God, our Heavenly Father, that all of those that have been contrary will be emptied out. We understand that God is going to eradicate everything from the face of the earth that's unclean, and nothing that worketh abomination shall remain. Nothing that is unclean, nothing that is ungodly, nothing that is self-will, nothing that is impure shall remain in the earth, for God shall do away with all of it. And every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. Shall be plucked up. And those people shall then be called reprobate gold. Reprobate gold, but we shall be the gold that's tried in the furnace. So then when we see these great things at hand, again I'm moved, again I'm stirred, again I'm burning like a flame of fire. Why? Because it's so great and so mighty. When I think of God and God's way and what God has sent me to do and what God has called us to do for mankind and the thing that God has called us to proclaim in this world, we need to do something for God. People everywhere are listening. Did you know that? People everywhere are wanting to hear. The devil is constantly hindering. Even though we heard that Satan is hindering in the Virginia broadcast, yet the lady there herself that is in charge wrote and said, Reverend Pike said there has been many or been a number of fine things or comments that has come to our station concerning your program. People are listening. All over the world, people are listening. People are wanting to hear the truth. And what we need to do is stand up for Jesus. We need to stop being a bunch of wishy-washy scallywags, as the world calls it. That's what they call people that ain't nothing, just a wishy-washy scallywag. I don't know what that means, but it don't sound good anyway. Maybe some polished theologian could tell you what it means. But there's one thing about it, God's people are not scallywags. And we need to get up from where we're at and quit acting like a bunch of scallywags. And get busy for God and do something. And quit being half-hearted and in and out and up and down and around and around and always frustrated and tore up and don't know where we're going and don't know what we're doing and don't know what we want to do. Folks, we need to get some understanding. We need to get lined up. We need to get a vision. We need to be the same every day. Take a drive and don't let up until it takes you to your grave, if it goes in that direction, if that's what it means. The Bible said, be faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of life. If it takes going to the grave with an attitude of standing for God in every step and every stride, stand steady, stand solid, stand firm. Don't be changeable. Stay with it for righteousness' sake. And God will reward you in a day to come. I will turn the world upside down, God said, because they have not kept my ordinances. I will change the entire situation. I will burn up the earth, and few men there be that will be left in the earth. For the entire world shall be desolate, and the people shall be desolate. Therefore, with this kind of a warning, this kind of understanding, we know why the chaos is here, and we need to do something about it. If it's all because that they have rejected the ordinance of God, then friend, why is it that we're not lifting up the ordinances of God, and why is it we're not telling people about God's word? You say, but Brother Pike, they're doing that all over the world. I don't agree with you. They're doing it in some places. But if they were doing it all over the world, the end would come. Because the Bible said when the gospel is preached in all of the world for a witness, then the end should come. Therefore, they're not doing it. What they're doing, they're acting in part. and they're partially for their own gain, for their own selfish desire, emphasizing Christ and drawing multitudes to them for their own benefit. But brother, we want to establish the ordinances of God, the practices of God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, to be holy in body and in spirit, to make our conversation holy in this earth, and to be a light that can't be penetrated by the world. Then God will turn things right side up for us. How do you believe that? Praise God. I feel like preaching about 2 hours. Yeah, I know some of you say amen and you don't mean a word of it. You almost choke on your words to the extent you're sure hoping that I don't take that serious. But I'll tell you one thing. There are some of you that really mean it. And there's some of it your hearts are hungry and you're thirsting for the things of God. And Jesus said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God shall be filled. With some of you, amen is a routine. You don't have enough God in you to really justify your amens. But I tell you what, folks, we need to do something for Jesus. Amen. You say, well, glory to God, that's what I'm planning to do. Well, I'm wondering when you're planning to do it. Now's a good time to get started. Right now. Tomorrow we got some things that need to be done for God here on the home front, right around the church, and some of the other fellows are doing something off a few miles for the Lord. They're getting together. It's a few miles away. Others need to be fasting. They need to be praying. They need to be typing. They need to be studying. They need to be doing something that's contributing to the cause of Jesus. They need to be helping the poor, the needy, the weak. They need to be testifying. They need to be doing something every moment, every hour of the day. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your presence here tonight. I hope you take very seriously the things that I say because I'm very serious about those things. You know, when you talk about God turning the world upside down, it don't sound like too much. But brother, I'll tell you, when the earth begins to shake, and there comes a rumble, and the mountains begin to crumble, and there comes a news flash over the radio that the great skyscraper of New York just crumbled to the ground, and you hear somebody scream on the radio and say, the building I'm in, it's fixing to crumble too, and the earth under you begins to rock and sway like that, and you see the stars begin to fall out of heaven, then it's going to be a time to really be tore up. Going to be a time to really be tore up. Men are going to run for the rocks and for the mountains. And they're going to cry for them to fall on them when that great brightness of God begins to appear. When the Son of God begins to come forth, they're literally going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Think about that. Just his presence, that haughty, arrogant, overconfident millionaire or statesman or celebrity or person that you can't reason with, talk to, tell them nothing. The very moment that Jesus appears, they're going to scream like a dying hyena. And they're going to run like the coward they are. And they're going to scream for the rocks and for the mountains. My God, it's him. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Why is it that we don't break our haughty, stubborn ways now? The Bible said, warn the rich that they trust not in uncertain riches. You haughty, contrary, self-will, rebellious, glory-seeking people that are looking in the wrong direction. Why don't you break your haughty spirits? Why don't you listen to God before God breaks you? The Bible said, everyone that falleth on this stone shall be broken. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of offense. He that believeth on him should not be ashamed. But he said, I warn you that everyone that this stone falleth on, it shall grind him to powder. Why is it that we don't be broken? Why is it that we don't listen? Why is it that we will rebel? But the Bible says, though you teach righteousness to the wicked, they will not repent. They will not listen. Though you tell them ever so much, they won't listen. Though one rose from the dead, they still wouldn't listen, Abraham said. And they won't listen. But there's one thing about it. The world isn't going to repent. The world isn't going to turn away from the world. They're on the world. They're not going to turn toward righteousness. And they're not going to love you and I. But brother and sister, if we're of God, we're going to do right. Hallelujah. We're going to do right. We're not going after the frolics and the foolishness of this world. If we're of God, we're going to do right. And we're going to submit our self-will and our rebellious attitudes and our haughtiness and our contrariness until there ain't nothing left of us and nothing's there except Jesus. When we really get right with God, when we really get right with God, there won't be any rebellion in you. There won't be any haughtiness in you. There won't be any contrariness in you. Because you'll be submitted to Christ Jesus. You'll be tender. You'll be sweet. You'll be meek. You'll be humble. Moses, the meekest man in all the earth. Let's sing a little chorus together. And I want you to keep praying. Our trips into the foreign fields are drawing nearer and nearer. Camp meeting also drawing nearer and nearer. Christ is drawing nearer and nearer. Eternity. I saw while I was down in Florida. I guess the old gentleman must have been 80 years old. Still active, still agile. Driving his vehicle or truck. Going out to the beach. Puffing on his cigar. Going strong. About 80, 85 years old. And I thought, How foolish. It's foolish for a young man to do it. Very foolish. Because even a young man, Jesus at the age of 12, as a man, knew about the things of God. But when a man has had that many years of experience, 80 years old, and still sucking on a weed, knowing that he may slip into eternity any minute. A foolish, foolish thing. So foolish. So foolish. People do foolish things, you know that? They do such foolish things. Can you close your eyes for just a minute with me? Examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. For we're saved by faith in God. See if we be in the faith. See if our confidence is in Jesus. Have you really called upon the name of Jesus? It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you really called upon the name of Jesus? Don't you know that the end of the world is here? Don't you care? Oh, yes, you care. But you're taking your chances. You care. You're afraid. But you feel like, Brother Pike, I know you're telling me the truth, but you're talking about day after tomorrow. And I'm just going to take my chance. But before it's too late, you can count on me. Because I'm keeping one foot in. I'm not getting too far out. Don't you know that's hypocrisy? Don't you know that's being lukewarm? Don't you know God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth? And don't you know when you're that kind of person that you're the very kind that God's going to see that you don't know when it happens? You're the very one that he's going to catch off guard. He's going to see that you're caught off guard because you tried to play the hypocrite. Those that really don't know that hasn't gotten in, the Lord will work to try to get them in at the last minute. And those that are trying to do their best and stumbling and staggering, God will try to let them know in time to shape up. But you, friend, he'll make sure that you don't know. Because you toyed with God and you played with God. But the Lord knoweth. And the Bible said God knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptation. He taketh the wicked in their own snare. God knoweth. Oh, so many people that thought sure that they could just dilly-dally around the world a little bit has been caught in their own foolishness, and they've been crushed in their own trap.
when they thought sure that they'd check out just in time. Oh, I tell you something, beloved friend, if you're not right with God, if you're not straight with God, you need to get in. You need to get right. You need to get down to business. You need to clear your thoughts and your mind and program your heart for holiness altogether and godliness altogether. To add to your experience patience and godliness and holiness and righteousness. To add to your experience faith, knowledge, and temperance, and brotherly kindness and brotherly love, and patience and long-suffering and meekness, kindness. All these wonderful things, you need to begin to get your experience right. Because if these things are lacking in you, you're blind. The Bible said you are blind if you don't have these things. And many of you don't have these things. You're blind, he said. You're blind. You can't make it in. You're blind. But if you have these things, you're not barren. Neither are you unprofitable in the things of God. But you're a blessing to others. And your light can be seen. The glory of your light shall greatly rise and be seen around the world. Think on what I'm telling you. Think on what I'm telling you. Do you have brotherly kindness? Do you have patience? Do you have godliness? Do you have holiness? Do you have faith? Do you have temperance? Do you have these things in you? Do you have charity? Do you? Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity behaveth not itself unseemingly. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity seeketh not the things of its own. Charity never faileth. Where there be knowledge, knowledge shall fade away. For ye know in part. And where there be all the other gifts, though you possess them, you become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal if you have not charity and the precious love of God. Because God is love, and it takes the Spirit of God to translate your inner spirit into His love. For if your spirit be not abiding in love, your spirit didn't make the translation. For every spirit that has not been translated into the love of charity missed the translation. For God is the Spirit of charity, and all human spirits must be by faith of Christ Jesus translated into the godly charity. And that's the only eternal life, and the body will be changed at the sounding of the last trump if your spirit has been translated into the spirit of charity. But beloved friend, if your spirit has not been translated into the spirit of love, then you missed the translation. You miss the translation. And the love of the world, if it be in you, the love of the Father is not there. Having loved the present world, you become sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And you miss the things of Christ Jesus because you did not have the love of God. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad. Getting nearer to the end all the time. I want you to slip your hands up again. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come and pray with you. And I want you to search yourself for a few minutes. See if you're in the faith. What is faith? Faith in the Word. What does the Word say? Charity, meekness, long-suffering, patience, kindness, brotherly love. These things being you have the fruits of the Spirit unto holiness in the end thereof everlasting life. Not these things you are barren. In the sight of God, why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down, the writer said. With your hands lifted to heaven, your eyes closed, your heart in deep meditation, searching and seeking, for any minute could be the coming of the Lord. Any minute could be the stopping of the heartbeat. Any moment could be the tragedy that will hurl you out into eternity. Any moment. Who knows but what tonight might be the night.
Brother Taylor comes.